हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः We are seeing the Bhashyam of the first mantra. We have seen the meaning of the Bhashyam by Adishankara for the first line of the first quarter of the mantra. And these two words, Ishitam and Preshitam, are taken for discussion. And Shankara himself is explaining there this. Ishitam is from the root ish, which belongs to three different conjugations. And of the three conjugations, we are supposed to take the meaning of the sixth conjugation, where it means desired. Ishitam is the Vedic usage of ishtam, which means desired, willed. But there again, another word is there, preshitam, which means directed by. But here, both the words are used, and the word ishitam implies just by the mere presence of Atma, the mind, everything functions. The word preshitam means be directed by Atma, the mind, body, mind's complex functions. So the word preshitam actually makes the Atma a karta. The meaning, direction, or directed by, makes the Atma karta. Whereas willed by, or desired by, desired, that meaning makes the Atma akarta. We know very well Atma is akarta. We do not know what Atma is, but Atma is akarta. Therefore, we should take the meaning of only willed by. That means, what is that principle? Because he also used the word Devaha later on. What is that conscious principle? Who is that conscious being? Because of whose mere presence, because of whose blessings, this body, mind, sense complex functions. The two words are used. Meaning is very complete. But the Purva Pakshi comes into the picture and he raised the question, if the student is asking, what is that principle because of whose mere presence this mind goes towards its objects? That is the question asked by this student. The word Ishitam itself would have been enough. Why should this student use one more word extra, Preshitam also? Why can't he stop with one word, Ishitam? Why should he use another word also, Preshitam? One word is enough. And here, the answer is, no, two words are used to emphasize the same meaning. And the student, this Purupakshi, is asking, the two words are, why should two words be used to give the same meaning? It is unnecessary. One word should have been avoided. Is it not necessary? Because when he uses two words, that means he must be giving two different meanings also. Artha adhikyat, shabda adhikyat, artha adhikyam bhavati. That means what? If the student who is asking this question is using two different verbs, therefore there will be two meanings also must be there. Just to convey one meaning, why should he use two words? This is the Purupakshi's doubt. Okay, and Shankara, as a Siddhanti, as the one who relieves the doubts, he himself is the Purupakshi, and he himself is the one who gives the answer. Okay, Shankara himself is giving the answer also. So he says, the student's doubt is, maybe he want to say both. Is there anything, anybody behind this body mind and complex by whom all these things are directed, and either by action or by speech or by, you know, maybe a presence, maybe he wanted to ask this question, or he want to know whether just by mere presence there's something which is there behind this body mind complex. Either by mere presence of that thing this must be functioning, or by the activation, either by, you know, by body's activation or by mind's activation or by the word speech activation of the speech, it must be caused to function. Maybe he want to ask that. That's why he must have used two words. This is Purupakshi's question. And Shankara says, nah, not. Why the student who asks this question uses two words, ishitam and preshitam, in the sense of mere presence. Whose mere presence? Because of whose mere presence? Because of, you know, blessings of whom? This mind goes towards its objects. He uses two words, no doubt, but both the words imply the only one meaning. They do not convey two different meanings. What is the only one meaning? Whose mere presence? Kena ishita means what? By whose mere presence? Mind goes towards its objects. Is it clear? He established it. Now we'll go into the next one. So what he says? Shagas, na.
Na.
Prashna samarthyat.
Prashna samarthyat.
Prashna samarthyat means, Shankara makes it very clear, hey Purupakshi, please understand, Prashna samarthyam means what? The question itself is highly, you know, highly the extraordinary question. Why the question is very extraordinary question? Prashna samarthyat means what? Prashna samarthyat means because the question itself is highly extraordinary question. Why? Because the student, so that the teacher, he expects an extraordinary answer from the teacher also. The student knows very well, how is it possible for him to ask such a question? We can make out how the question itself is extraordinary question. To make out that, you have to see the answer given by the teacher later on. How does extraordinary question means? He is not totally an ignorant person. The student who is asking this question is very intelligent person, he's not totally ignorant person. He knows the Atma is something which is distinct from the body, mind, sense complex. And he knows Atma is not the Karta. And he also knows what? He knows the body, mind, sense complex are all immaterial products. And they are inert in nature. Therefore, they cannot function by themselves. Therefore, if the body, inert body, mind, sense complex functions, means it has become now conscious and sentient. That means, what is that Atma who is not the Karta, by whose mere presence this body, mind, sense complex becomes conscious and sentient and also functions? Isn't it? This is the extraordinary question. The Prashna Samarthyat. Yeah, you can make out from the very question that the student is asking, you know, he is not an ordinary person who has some understanding. He is not completely a novice too, who come and ask this question. Isn't it? He doesn't need to ask. Suppose the mind is there. About the physical body he can ask. What is that? About the mind he can ask. But he knows. He knows this much. He is not novice. He knows this much means he knows Atma is not the body, mind, sense complex. But he does not know what that Atma is. That is why the question comes. He has some knowledge. Atma is not the body, mind, sense complex. Even when people come to the introduction to Vedanta classes, they have to start learning from the beginning. It's a big lesson. Even to make people understand there is something which is different from body, mind, sense complex. This is the first lesson. Only then you can make them ask this question, what is that which is different from the body, mind, sense complex? The person doesn't even know there is something which is different from the body, mind, sense complex, Atma. And how can you talk about Atma being what Atma is? Isn't it? Ignorance is of two types. When people come to study the Shastram, they come here thinking, I am the body, mind, sense complex. Atma is the body, mind, sense complex. They do not know. Therefore, they do not know that they do not know what Atma is also. Whereas some people come, Atma is definitely not the body, mind, sense complex. Atma is different from the body, mind, sense complex. But I do not know what that Atma is. Understand now? This student, he belongs to which category? He belongs to another category who knows definitely body, mind, sense complex is inert material product. It cannot function by itself. It needs to be conscious and sentient in order to be functioning, and for which it must be blessed by the presence of something else, which must be the Atma, the conscious principle, conscious being. What is the conscious being? What is the conscious principle? Isn't it? And to make it very clear, he puts the same one word, Ishitam. Kena Ishitam Manaha Patati would have been enough. Kena ishitam, kena preshitam manaha patati. You know, he wants to say, what is that really who activates the mind? And he wants to say, no, because activation means a karma. Activation is a karma. I mean, I want to express actually by whose mere presence. Just by the wish of whom. It is not by action. Not by action, but by mere wish of something. This is functioning. What is that? So to convey his real understanding, he used two words, Prishitam and Ishitam. Therefore, same meaning is conveyed by both the words. In order to make his understanding emphatic, he used the two words. Therefore, he is not wrong. I mean, that shows what now? Prashna Samarthyat. Prashna Samarthyat Avagamyate. It is understood by the mere question of the student. What is that? The student has understanding that Atma is distinct from the body mind is complex. Atma is a conscious principle, conscious being. And Atma and this body mind complex is what? Inert. Therefore, it is dependent on the Atma to become conscious and sentient. This much understanding itself is revealed in his Prashnaha. Prashnaha eva pradarshayati. Very question shows what the student knows. Therefore, definitely, when the student touches on to use his two words, we should not say unnecessary and all those things. Is it clear? Thereafter, and he says, and how does Shankara say that? Read this now. I have already told you what I had to tell. I'm reading it now. The student's question shows who the student is. Isn't it? Who's the student here? He says, Dehadi.
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 Sanghatat.
Sanghatat.
Anityat.
Anityat.
Karma karyat.
Karma karyat.
Viraktaha.
Viraktaha.
Ataha.
Ataha.
So who is his student? He says, Dehadi Sanghatat. Dehadi Sanghataha means what? Sanghataha means assemblage. Dehadi Sanghataha means what? This assembly or assemblage of body, mind and complex is called Sanghataha. Okay? Sangha Karya Karana Sanghataha or Dehadi Sanghataha means physical body, mind, sense, complex is called Karya Karana Sanghataha or body mentions complex Sanghataha. And this Sanghataha, what is its nature? Anityat. Say now? Anityat. So this Dehadi Sanghataha is what? Anityaha. It is subject to time. It has a beginning, it has an end, it is subject to modifications and changes. In Tattva Bodha, we have already studied, subject to sixfold modifications. Therefore, Dehadi Sanghataha Anityaha. Isn't it? So, Dehadi Sanghatat Anityat Karma Karyat. Karma Karyat. Understand, karma karya means what now? It's also a product of what? Karma. This body, mind and complex, how has it come into existence? Because of karma. Isn't it? Because of prarabdham karma phalam. This physical body is here today because of the prarabdha karma phalam. This body with the sukshma shariram is here because of prarabdha karma phalam only. There will be some cause now, why this body is here with this body, why this body maintenance complex is here alive, to exhaust the punya papas. Therefore, it is born of what now? Karma only. Therefore, born of means I am not product, okay? I am saying, why is it, what is the cause? This body has come into existence to exhaust the punya papa. Therefore, this body maintenance complex, which has beginning and end, which is subject to all modifications, because which happens to be the material product also, is here as the effect of what? One's own parabdha karma also, karma phalam. Karma karyat, and from, this is the physical, this is the body mind complex. Okay, he used three words. Dehadi sanghataha, anityaha, and then karma karyaha. Understand? Is a product of karma. And from this, viraktaha. Viraktaha means what now? One who has become dispassionate towards this body mansions complex. And also the enjoyment of anything through this body mansions complex called a dispassionate person. Viraktaha. Viraktaha. Who is Viraktaha here? The student who asked this question. The student who asked this question is the person, he is interested in knowing what that Atma is. what that Atma is. The very interest shows him what? Shows what? He has passion for knowledge. He does not have passion for anything else other than the Atma Jnanam. Therefore, he naturally is dispassionate towards everything else, including what? The body mind's complex. He doesn't hate the body mind's complex, but he is Viraktaha. Is it clear now? Viraktaha. It shows the maturity of the student. The very question, Shankara wants to say, come on, don't say he is asking two, he is using two words unnecessarily. Don't say he is giving two different meanings. He gives only one meaning, uses two words, he makes it more emphatic, but he is very mature. You can make out from his very question. And who is this person? Karya karana sanghatat anityat karma karyat viraktaha. He is a dispassionate person. That means, dispassionate means what? Dispassionate means, don't think he is a frustrated person. He is a very mature person. People always mistake the dispassionate people for frustrated people. Understand? The dispassionate one is not the frustrated one, but highly mature person. Therefore, here, viraktaha, ataha, therefore. Ataha means what? Therefore, because he is dispassionate, he is not interested in these things. So what now? Ataha, therefore, anyat means other than the body mind's complex. What other than the body mind's complex is there here? Kutastham nityam vastu bubutsamanaha. This ataha there, because he is highly dispassionate, and now who is he now? Therefore he has become what now? He is now bubutsamanaha, means bodhum ichchuhu, one who wants to know. Bubutsamanaha means being desirous of knowing or wanting to know, having a desire to know. Bubutsamanaha means as a jigyasuhu. Bubutsamanaha jnatum ichchuhu, bodhum ichchuhu, as a desire to know. What does he want to know? Vastu. He wants to know the reality. And what is that reality? Nityam vastu. It is eternal, everlasting reality. And timeless reality. And what is the timeless reality? Kutastham. Kutastaha. Here he talks about the Atma. This student who asks this question is mature. He is dispassionate towards everything else. He is interested only in knowing the Atma. And what is that Atma? Kutastaha. Nityaha Atma. Kutastham Nityam Vastu, because Vastu is a neuter gender word. Kutastham Nityam Atmanam. That's the meaning. Kutastaha means that which is the substratum for everything. Atma is called Kutastaha. This word you must have come across in Bhagavad Gita also. Atma is also said to be Kutastaha, and a wise person also is said to be a Kutastaha. Kutaha means anvil, made of iron. You know that anvil, they keep something which is kept in all the goldsmiths, the places where the goldsmiths work. It's called anvil, it's called kutaha. You know, kutas. And then it's there, and on the top of it, people use many big rods and things, and they use it to bend it or anything. So the other rods and stuff, they can be hit and then they can be bent upon this anvil, but anvil will not bend. It remains firm for like this for everything. Similarly, that which is a substratum wherein that which lends existence to everything else, that which supports everything else, is what? Atma is said to be Kutastaha. Is it clear now? The wise person is said to be Kutastaha because one who is not shaken by any situations in life. See, for a wise person also, tsunami will come. For a wise person also, will have to go through the pain of tsunami, earthquake, and then recession, all other problems. And an ordinary person also has to go through these things. So, the jnanam will not remove the situation. Situations will be the same. But a jnanam will help the person to stand any situation. That is the difference. The jnani also said to be kutastaha. Is it clear? So here, the student wants to know the atma. What is that atma? Kutastaha atma. And then nityaha atma. He wants to know, this student wants to know. Why? Therefore what? He is not interested in anything else. He is dispassionate. Viraktaha. Understand? Therefore, this is the standard of the student. Don't take the student for granted. Don't come out to these questions, saying student is using unnecessarily two words and all that. Understand now? So, kutastham nityam vastu bubhutsamanaha prichati. The student who, prichati mean what? Asks. The student is asking this question. Kena preshitam manaha kena ishitam preshitam manaha patati. This question the student is asking, prichati. He prichati means is asking. Asking this question. Why does he ask this question? With the desire to know. As the desirer. Bhutsa manaha means desirer. As a desirer, as the one wanting to know, what does he want to know? He wants to know the timeless reality, which is a kutastaha. Isn't it? And why does he want to know? Because he is now completely dispassionate towards everything else. Time-bound things. Anityat viraktaha nityam vastum bhutsate. He is dispassionate towards time-bound objects. Now he wants to know the timeless Atma. Therefore, samarthyat. Samarthyat pruchyati iti samarthyat. Because the, knowing the standard of the student now, samarthyat, upapadyate, it is possible for the student to use two words in his question which mean the same. This Shankara defends the student. He gives answer to Purvapakshi.
Samarthyat upapadyate?
No. Upapadyate means it is possible for him to ask the question. That's the meaning. It is possible. Pruchyati samarthyat means, pruchyati iti samarthyat means because of that reason. Pruchyati iti samarthyat. Now, how does he ask this question? The very question shows the standard of the student. Isn't it? Iti samarthya, the prashna, the question itself, prichati, iti samarthya, because of that reason, due to that reason, why does he ask this question? Thereby itself, you understand what? These two words, using the two words in his question is possible. It is not incorrect. That's the mean. No, samarthyam is a noun form of samarthaha. Tell you, samarthaha means capable, efficient. Samarthyam is efficiency. Literal meaning, you can't take the literal meaning. Here, the student is efficient. His question is not in useless question, it is efficient question. It means what? Which means he is proper for him to ask this question. That's the meaning. Sometimes you can't take literal meaning here. Itaratha, Icha, Vak karma bhihi dehadi sanghatasya prerayitrutvam prasiddham iti prashnaha anarthakaha eva syat. Icha vak karma bhihi, ready? Icha vak karma bhihi dehadi sanghatasya prerayitrutvam prasiddham iti prashnaha anarthakaha eva syat. Evamapi preshita shabdasya अर्थः न प्रदर्शितः एव. सो स्टिल् द स्टुडेंट् इस् नाट् दिस् दि पूर्व पक्षि इस् नाट् लीविङ्ग् हिम् ओके स्टिल् हि कण्टिन्यूस् शङ्करा हेस् गिवन् दि आन्सर् ओके नौ हि सेस् इच्छा वाक् कर्मभिः देहादिसङ्घातस्य प्रेरयितृत्वम् प्रसिद्धम् इति प्रश्नः अनर्थकः एव स्यात्. ऐदर् बै वर्ड् आर् बै एक्शन् आर् बै मियर् डिजैर् सङ्घातस्य प्रेरयितृत्वम् this prerayitrutvam here means actually activation, you know. Prerayita means activator and prerayitrutvam means what, the status of being the activator. Maybe atma is activator. How is atma activator? Either by mere will or by action or by saying come on do this or by command, you know? Either by command or by action or by just mere will. How this prerayitrutvam, no, when you have to say somebody, you have to make somebody to go, come on get up and go, you have to sell some other body has to go means what, somebody else has to get up and go means, then you have to say come on get up and go. This is necessary, isn't it? For another body, for another person who to be moved from one place to another place, you have to say what? Either you have to push or you have to say come on get up and go. Come on, no? Or you have to say it, do it. Like that, something when for the body minds complex to move, it is possible. You don't need to say this, isn't it? Some either there must be command or there must be some action. Which is not possible. It is very well known. For this you don't need to use another word. Prerayitrutvam prasiddham iti prashnaha anarthakaha eva syat. But here we are talking about what now? This atma here. And atma by its mere presence it's activating everything else. And here the such being the case, then again this prashnaha anarthaka, the very question is useless here. You don't need to talk about who is the one, by whose mere person everything is activated. That question is not required if something is away from the body mind's complex. In the sense, if I see as a person, individual, I am different from other individual, then to activate other individual, either one has to speak or one has to do something to make the person act. Isn't it? There we don't need to, the very question is not necessary. Whose mere presence, or even mere presence, or sometimes some servants, kings are sitting and the king doesn't need to speak. If he sees means things have to work. Sometimes some bosses are there, people do work. Mere presence is enough. In the manager is in the office means they'll work properly. Sometimes by mere presence of the authorities, the subordinates work. Sometimes the bosses have to tell the subordinates to work. Speech. Or sometimes they have to go and they do something to make others also do. This is very possible, isn't it? In that context, this question is not necessary. But here, whom are we talking about? We are talking about the akarta atma. Isn't it? Here whom are we talking about? We are not talking about the such body mind complex here. We are talking about the very atma, whose mere presence makes this body mind complex function. Not the speech or not the action. Atma does not speak to the body mind complex to make the body function. Atma does not even do anything. Atma does not do anything to activate the body mind complex. But mere presence, the body mind complex becomes activated. Is it clear what I'm saying? Is it clear or not? Bear with me. This will be like this. particular one verse, and then next little very interesting things are coming. Hunter, little boring initially, so okay, it'll be fine. Then evamapi preshita sabdasya artha na pradashitaha eva. Therefore, what he says now, if you say again, the Purupakshi won't live. No, he says everything is fine. You are defending the student, okay, saying he is very intelligent and he knows all these things, and he's asking this question in the same sense because he's a dispassionate person and he's interested in jnanam. Therefore, that is why he knows Atma is different. Therefore, he wants to know who that Atma is. And he knows Atma is akarta. He knows Atma. Therefore, by mere presence, everything, by mere presence activates everything. He knows all those things. Fine. But he says, but still, prehita shabdasya artaha na pradarshitaha eva. But still, the shabdas, the two words are there. Only ishita word has been very clearly made. It has been made very clear about the shabda ishita. But still the word preshitam is sitting there. The meaning of the word preshita has not been made very clear. It is simply he is asking. That means one word is enough. The Shankara says, gives a same meaning for both the words. Isn't it? Now Shankara says, na. Say no. Na. That is not true. Why he is using two words in the same meaning? The meaning has been already revealed. Don't say the meaning has not been revealed. The meaning has been revealed. Samshayavataha ayam prashnaha. When the student is asking the question, he is intelligent, he revealed what he knows in his question. The very question also reveals what he does not know also. Is it clear now? The question reveals what he knows. The question also reveals what he does not know. Therefore, what he wants to know also, the very question reveals. That because he is samshayavan, he is doubtful. He is not totally knowledgeable. He is not totally ignorant. Therefore, he is possible. He is vague. He has some understanding, but he is not vague. Therefore, the person who is asking is not the one who is asking knowing everything totally. If he knows everything, then he wouldn't have asked the very question. If he did not know anything else also, he wouldn't have asked this question. Because the one who has asked this question is vague. He does not know what that Atma is. Therefore, he is doubtful. Not a doubtful. He is vague. He does not know. Therefore, it is possible for the one who has doubt, it is possible for the one who is vague about what he wants to know, to use such words in his question. Is it clear now? That's what Shankara says here. Samshayavataha. Say no.
Samshayavataha.
Ayam prashnaha.
Ayam prashnaha.
Therefore, ayam prashna, this question is not from the one who knows thoroughly the Atma, or one who does not know anything at all about the Atma, but the one who knows something, but still one who is still vague about what Atma is. Therefore, samshayavataha means for the one who has the doubt, okay, samshayavataha. Samshayaha means doubt, samshayavan means doubtful or the vague person. Samshayavataha is a possessive of samshayavan. Then samshayavataha, for the one who is doubtful, ayam prashnaha, this question is from whom? From the one who is vague about this Atma. Iti preshita shabdasya artha viseshaha upapadyate. Therefore, it is possible the meaning here, the meaning of the word preshitam also is implied here. It implies the same meaning only. It is understood here. We don't need to say that using two words is wrong. Is it clear now? The preshita shabdasya artha viseshaha why the student has used this word preshitam, conveying the same meaning of ishitam, that becomes very clear when you understand the student being vague about what he wants to know. Is it clear now about mind, bottom, what mind? He does not know Atma. Is it clear now? Kim yatha prasiddhameva karyakarana sanghatasya preshayitrutvam kimva sanghata vyatiriktasya swatantrasya iccha matrena eva mana adi preshayitrutvam ityasya arthasya padarshanartham keneshitam patati preshitam manaha iti viseshanadvayam upapadyate. See, swatantra iccha matrena eva mana adi preshayitrutvam ityasya arthasya. What he says, why can't we say mind functions by itself? Why can't we say that? Mind swatantrataya means mind functions by itself. Mind is not activated by anything else. Mind functions by itself. Mind functions independent of Atma. Maybe he wants to say that. See, simply, karyakarana sanghatasya prerayitrutvam kim va sanghata vyatiriktasya svatantra iccha matrena mana ali prerayitrutvam. Maybe the mind activates the body. Body mind complex means mind is functioning independently. Mind is not activated by anything else. That's what he wants to say, or what? Maybe mind activates the body mind complex. No, that means mind is functioning by itself, independently. If that is said, then we don't need to ask this question at all. If mind can function independently, isn't it? Then we have, everything has to become what? Everything will become wrong. That means mind is conscious by itself. Isn't it? Mind, we can't say mind is functioning independently. But this Purupaksh is asking, can't we say mind is functioning independently? No, we can't say that. So he has to give the answer. Then, if it is that is the case, then everybody else in the world will know easily that everything is functioning independently. Then very Upanishad teaching is of Kenesh, the Manaha Patati, this itself would have become what? Redundant. The very Upanishad study would have become redundant if mind functions by itself. Isn't it? So he says, Nanu Swatantram Manaha. So therefore mind is not Swatantram, no. Swavishaye Swayam Patati Iti Prasiddham Tatra Katham Prashnaha Upapadyate Iti Uchyate. If the mind functions by itself, then the very question wouldn't have been what now? Wouldn't have been possible. That means mind does not function by itself, and not only the mind, because of the mind alone, the rest of the Karyakarana Sanghataha functions, but the mind by itself cannot function. It needs the activation by the mere presence of something else, which is Atma. If the mind functions by itself, then the very question wouldn't have been possible. Is it the very kena ishitam iti? Then the Purupakshi is asking this question. Maybe he means the mind functions by itself. The mind is involved in activating other aspects of karyakarana sanghata. You know, then the teacher Shankara has to say, "What? No, that's not true." He means the mind also. He means the whole thing, isn't it? Therefore, if this mind functions by itself, then the very question would have been redundant, useless. But you can't say the question is useless. It's a meaningful question also. Therefore, he says, Yadi Swatantram Manaha Pravritti Nivritti Vishaye Syat Tarhi Sarvasya Anishta Chintanam Nasyat Anarthancha Janan Sankalpayati. Shankara says, if the mind can function by itself, then what we can do? Every time jealousy comes, mind can say, no, I don't want jealousy to be here. The mind functions by itself. Anger comes, no, I don't want anger to be there. Desire comes, I don't want this to be. Anything, all the unwanted negative tendencies, mind would have pushed outside. Then mind would have had what only? Pleasing thoughts. The pleasure it can have, pain would have pushed out. Anger would have pushed out. Isn't it? If the mind is functioning by itself, then all the unwanted thoughts mind could have avoided. Do you get the point what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do you see the meaning here? What he says, Swatantram manaha svavishaye svayam patati iti prasiddham. Okay. Yadi swatantram manaha, if the mind is independent, then what would have happened? Pravritti nivritti vishaye syat tarhi sarvasya anishta chintanam nasyat. For everyone, undesirable thoughts would not be there. If the mind is functioning by itself, it has a choice of having these thoughts, not to have those thoughts. Isn't it? It's not possible. Do you get the point what I'm saying? So, undesirable thoughts would have been pushed away, really rejected by the mind itself. Mind could have easily rejected the undesirable thoughts. Mind is not capable of doing. See, when jealousy comes, you know you don't want to be jealous, but you are helpless of jealousy. Anger comes, you don't want to be angry, but you are helpless. There is anger. When the pain comes, emotional pain comes, you don't want to have pain, but you have no choice. Pain just is. I mean, just he wants to say, mind as a whole is a function, isn't it? And which within the realm of an order backed by knowledge, but the mind itself cannot function, isn't it? Mind itself is a function. It is not an independent entity which functions by itself. Get the point here? Because a student unnecessarily asks this question, can we say mind functions by itself then? Maybe he used a two word, therefore maybe he means that to say that mind functions by itself and but mind activates other aspects of body mind's complex. Maybe that's the meaning. See, it's all Purupakshi comes. Shankara has to say, come on, that's not true. How can mind function by itself? If mind functions by itself, all anishta chintanam, it would have rejected all the unwanted thoughts. That's not true. You know, the very fact that you are not able to give up, you are not able to undo your own thoughts, is the proof that mind does not function by itself. Get the point I'm saying? And then it can think, oh, let me decide to have only these thoughts now. Let me not have these thoughts. Such thing is not possible. Atyugra dukhe cha karye varyamanamapi pravartata eva manaha. Atyugra dukhe cha karye varyamanamapi pravartata eva manaha. Even when this highly sorrowful also, when there is great sorrow also, still mind continues to work. Hey, what now? Come on, sorrow, go away. If the mind functions by itself, it can push away, what now? The sorrow. It's not capable of doing it, isn't it? Therefore, what does it mean? Mind does not function by itself. He does not mean to say, because Ishitam and Peshtam, two words are not used for this purpose. Is it? The answers were given already, but still he just wants to say. Tasmat, say no?
Tasmat.
Yuktaha eva.
Yuktaha eva.
Therefore, it is appropriate, it is very, very appropriate on the part of the student to ask this question, to use these two words in his question. Kena Ishitam. Ityadi prashnaha. But finished. At last we finished Ishitam and Preshitam. Okay, this is the most boring part of this thing, but it's over now. Therefore, this is it is appropriate on the part of the student to you ask this question using these two words. Kena pranaha. Now with this, the quarter of the Bhashyam part is over. Now you're entering into the next question. Kena pranaha. Now see, look at this. For the one quarter of the mantra, the long Bhashyam, and for the rest of the mantra, few lines Bhashyam. Kena pranaha
yuktaha
niyuktaha.
Niyuktaha.
See, kena pranaha yuktaha. He says niyuktaha. Niyuktaha means what now? Again activated or appointed by whom? Preritaha. Preritaha activated. Isn't it? Activated. Preritaha also means inspired. Inspired by whom? Activated by whom? Appointed by whom? Is it? By whom? San Praiti Gacchati. Praiti means what? The prana goes. Prana moves. Towards what? Svavyaparam prati. Svavyaparam prati. So again, inspired by whom? We don't need to understand the same thing now. We don't need to go for everything again. So by mere whose presence, even the prana functions. Prana is involved in its function of, in its function of all these physiological functions. Kena. Sorry. Prathamaha iti prana visheshanam syat. Now he gives the meaning of the word prathamaha. Okay, why prathamaha? Prana is said to be prathamaha. Why prathamaha? Because he says, adjective for prana. Prathamaha is adjective for the word pranaha. Purvakatvat. Sarvendriya pravrittinam. Sarva indriya pravrittinam purvakatvat. See, all the senses. Why prana is said to be prathamaha here? Shankara gives the meaning here. Pranaha is said to be prathamaha. Why prathamaha means first and the foremost? The pranaha, the first and the foremost of the subtle aspects. You know, how does he function? Inspired by whom, directed by whom, the prana functions. But why Prathamaha adjective there? He says, Sarva Indriya Pravruttinam, Sarva Pravartakatvat, Sarva Indriya Pravruttina means, if the prana doesn't function, senses cannot function, mind cannot function, thinking is not possible, knowing is not possible, understanding is not possible, physical movements are not possible. So karma indriyani, jnana indriyani, manaha, all other subtle aspects cannot function at all if there is no prana. Prana implies what? Energy, isn't it? If there is no prana, there cannot be energy. If there is no energy, nothing can function. Even though prana is dependent on the mind to become conscious, but without prana, the mind itself cannot function. Therefore, prana is said to be what now? Prathamaha. Is it clear now? Can you think when you are very hungry? Can you understand Shastra when you are very hungry? Will you come and sit here with that breakfast? Means should have all fainted by now. Therefore, means what? No Vedanta will go inside if there is no energy here. Therefore, prana is prathamaha. Prana implies what? Energy in the body. Therefore, for all the functions, prana must be there, very much there. Minus prana, no function, nothing can work. That's why it seems, in the Puranas also we have this, when the mind goes somewhere, and then prana is still there, prana continues to be there, then everything was okay. But the prana want to leave for, okay, like, let me go for 1 second and come back. And all the devatas came and begged, saying, oh, please don't go. Why? They cannot survive without the prana. That's why prana is said to be prathamaha. Kena ishitam vachamimam shabdalakshanam vadanti laukikaha. So laukikaha, laukikaha means what now? Loke vidyamanaha janaha. So people who are in the world, laukikaha janaha, vadanti, they speak. They speak what now? Shabda lakshanam imam vacham. They speak the words in the mouth sounds. By what? Kena ishitam. No? So, kena ishitam vacham imam vadanti. By whose mere presence these words now are spoken out, isn't it? The people are able to speak these words because of whose presence. That's the meaning. Tatha, as well, similarly, chakshu, shrotrancha, sve-sve vishaye. Similarly, sve-sve vishaye means what now? Sva-sva vishaye, in their own respective field. Sva-sva vishaye means what? In their own respective field, chakshuhu shrotrancha, eyes, ears, etc. And we have to include all the senses. All the senses also function in their respective field. That means, kaha u devaha. Kaha u devaha. So, u is simply added there. Ka devaha. Kaha devaha means, which effulgent being, which conscious prince, effulgent conscious principle. Devaha, he says, dyotanavan. Devaha, Shankara gives the meaning Dyotanavan. See, Dyuhu means light. Dyu is the root. And what is the verb that you get here? Actually, Dyutihi means noun, light again. Dyotate means shines. Dyotanavan means effulgent being. Okay? Dyotanavan, Devaha means the same, effulgent. So, who is that effulgent conscious being? Yunakti. Yunakti means what? Niyungte. ಪ್ರೇರಯತಿ. ಶಂಕರ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಟೂ ಮೋರ್ ವರ್ಬ್ಸ್, ನಿಯುಂಕ್ತೆ ಪ್ರೇರಯತಿ. ನಿಯುಂಕ್ತೆ ಅಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ಸ್, ಅಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವೇಟ್ಸ್. ಪ್ರೇರಯತಿ ಇನ್ಸ್ಪೈರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವೇಟ್ಸ್. ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ ಎಫಲ್ಜೆಂಟ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಹೂ ಆಕ್ಟಿವೇಟ್ಸ್, ಹೂ ಇನ್ಸ್ಪೈರ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ inspires or activates these senses in their respective disciplines, respective functions. This much is the Vashyam. Actually, what's the thing? So there is a conscious being, conscious principle, which is not distant from the body mansions complex, but definitely which is distinct from the body mansions complex, which must be just the, because of whose association or whose presence, mere presence, not by an action, not by speech, not by action, not by speech, or not by any other action, this body-mind complex functions, but by mere presence, this body-mind complex functions. What is that Atma? What is that conscious being? Who is that conscious being? This is the question by the student. Okay. Now we'll go to the next verse. Shrotrasya shrotram manasaha mano ಯದ್ವಾಚೋಹ ವಾಚಂ ಸವು ಪ್ರಾಣಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಾಣಃ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಃ ಚಕ್ಷುಃ ಅತಿಮುಚ್ಯ ಧೀರಾಃ ಪ್ರೇತ್ಯ ಅಸ್ಮಾನ್ ಲೋಕಾತ್ ಅಮೃತಾಹ ಭವಂತಿ. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಟು ಟೀಚರ್ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ನ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ನೌ. ಶ್ರೋತ್ರಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೋತ್ರಂ, ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ? ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಲಿಟ್ರಲ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್. ಶ್ರೋತ್ರಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೋತ್ರಂ, ಆತ್ಮ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹೂಸ್ ಮಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆನ್ಸ್, ಬೈ ಹೂಸ್ ಮಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆನ್ಸ್ everything functions, all these senses, all these organs, entire body mind complex functions in the respective field. What is Atma? He says, ear of the ear. Atma is the ear of the ear. It is literal meaning first, then we will go to the details. Atma is what? Shrotrasya shrotram manasaha manaha. Atma is the mind of the mind. Then, yad vachaha ha vacham, Atma is the speech behind the speech. And that Atma is what? Pranasya pranaha. Atma is the prana of the prana, the life of the life, prana. Chakshushaha chakshuhu. Chakshushaha chakshuhu. Atma is what? Eye of the eye. And having said this much, he just given the answer now. Give answer is given. What is Atma? That's the question. What is Atma? Eye of the eye, ear of the ear, mind of the mind, speech of the speech. This is Atma. This is the teacher's answer. That's good. Very interesting Bhashyam is coming up. Very, it's not left for like first Bhashyam. Interesting Bhashyam is coming up. And he says, Dhiraha. Dhiraha, okay, atimuchya, asmat lokat pretya, amrutaha bhavanti. That means what? What does he say? Unknowing that Atma. Dhiraha means what now? Dhiraha, the wise people. Dhiraha literally means brave people, courageous people. But here dhiraha means what now? Dhiraha, dhiraha. Any whoever is brave, we can say dhiraha. Whoever is courageous, we can say dhiraha. But here, wise person is the dhiraha. Okay, all those so-called brave and courageous people are not wise. But the wise person is the real brave and courageous person. You know why? The wise person is the one who is utterly fearless. Any brave person seems to be utterly fearless. That's why we call, he is very fearless. Any fearless person who is free from fear is dhiraha for us. But here wise person is the real dhiraha, utterly fearless person in the absolute sense. You know why? Who is the one who is dhiraha? According to Shastram, the one who has protected his mind is the dhiraha. One who has protected his mind from what? From fear. I mean, who has protected his mind from fear? Protecting the mind from fear means what? Protecting from something is different, isn't it? Protecting one's mind from fear means mind being free from the very phenomenon called fear. There is no such a thing called state of mind called fear which rises in the mind. That mind, isn't it? The mind which is devoid of fear, which is free from fear, is said to have protected itself from fear. And that mind is what now? The one who has got that mind is said to be what now? Dhiraha. And how can one become free from fear? It is very natural for all the minds to have some fear or the other. There is no mind which is totally free from fear. There is no mind which is fearless mind. You know, somebody comes and tells, I have no fear at all, and it won't take one second for us to make him feel frightened. Okay? There is nobody who is free from fear. But the degree of, the degrees of fear may vary from person to person. The object of fear may vary from person to person, but there's no mind which is free from fear. It is like tongue without saliva is not possible, isn't it? Unless the person is dead. Similarly, there's no mind which is free from fear. Every mind must have fear. But the wise person's mind alone is free from fear. Because the mind which has the vision of the fullness, thereby which has resolved its identity in fullness, resolved itself in fullness, that mind alone can be free from fear. The mind which has not resolved itself in fullness cannot be free from fear. It's a very important lesson. The mind which has not resolved itself in fullness cannot be free from fear. And the mind resolving itself in fullness implies mind knowing its own truth, the existence being the Atma, the consciousness. Therefore, here the wise person who knows the Atma, not the one who is asking who the Atma is. The wise person is the one who knows the Atma. And thereby, one who has understood fullness, has resolved his mind in fullness, such a wise person alone is free from fear and he is called dhiraha. I told this meaning where, remember? Do you remember the meaning of the word dhiraha? I taught you in Mundaka Upanishad, Rajniji. What is the meaning? I gave explanation for that. Do you remember? Dhihi. Buddhihi dhiyam rati iti dhiraha. Do you remember the meaning? Anyway, you can remember again. Dhiyam rati iti dhiraha. Now, I want to ask you, second Upanishad has come now. Dhihi means buddhihi, rati means protects, and dhiyam rati means one who protects his intellect, buddhi. One who has protected his mind is called dhiraha. And explain the meaning now. One who, that's why I gave the hint actually. Protector of his mind is called dhiraha. How does he protect his mind? He protects his mind how? Be freeing itself from fear. How does he free his mind from fear? By resolving it, the very mind in fullness. How can one resolve one's mind in fullness? By knowing the very existence of the mind. And when he knows the existence of the mind, what is the existence of the mind? Atma. Look at it, I'll take you from here to there. I thought, I'm just going very fast, thinking that you all must be remembering the Munduka Upanishad class. Okay, now I'm going to do every class, I make sure that you all know thoroughly everything I'm teaching, then I'll go ahead. Okay, doesn't matter. Here Rodney, he didn't remember. Peter Jeff didn't remember. Richard G, so no problem. You're also fine. Nobody remembers here, so you're also okay. Yeah.
Mr. Piero knew, but we just...
Okay. Okay, now you remember now? At least now you remember. Dhyam Rati iti dhira. Yeah. Now you will not forget this. Dhyam Rati again. Let me see. I thought you wouldn't have forgotten. You forgot as well. Anyway, doesn't matter. Okay. Therefore, these wise people alone, wise people itself means what? Dhiraha itself implies those who know the Atma. There is no dhairyam. I want to tell you one thing. Dhairyam is a noun of the word. Dhiraha is adjective. Isn't it? Adjective, voice, the brave. But courage, how is it? Now it is a noun form of dhiraha, dhairyam. Is it dhairyam? Therefore, here we say, when you say the dhiraha itself means the person who is free from fear means one who knows the self. One who knows the reality alone is free from, can be free from fear. Therefore, here the person who knows the Atma, those people who know the Atma, asma lokat pretya. Asmat lokat pretya means what? Lokaha means any of anything in the world is perceptible. Anything perceptible is called lokaha. And so lokaha means don't think the world. Lokaha literally means what? World. Isn't it? Lokaha means what now? Anything which is perceptible, objectifiable is called lokaha. So, asmat lokat means what now? Asmat lokat pretya means his body, mind's complex also is perceptible, objectifiable, and having departed from praetya. Pra dhatu there. Pra is a prefix, e dhatu. Eti is the verb. Therefore, pretya means what now? Having departed from this body, mind's complex. From this physical body also is what now? Lokaha. So, asmat lokat pretya means having departed from this world, which means having left the physical body. After having departed from the physical body, which is also loka. It's clear now. Then, amrutaha bhavanti. Amrutaha bhavanti means what now? They become immortal. They become immortal, literal meaning. How can they become immortal? They remain immortal. So, remain immortal means what again? They remain immortal means they do not, no, they are not born again. They are not born again. Why? Therefore, they are not born again. Therefore, they do not need to die again. Therefore, they become immortal. They do not need to die again because they are not born again, because for them to be born again, very sukshma is not available. The whole sukshma shariram becomes resolved. How does sukshma become resolved? Because the mind is resolved. Why the mind is resolved? Because the mind has recognized its own existence, the truth. You know, so recognition of the truth of the mind makes the mind resolved in the truth. When the mind is resolved, all other subtle aspects also resolve along with the mind. Without being backed by the mind, they cannot survive. They all resolve. Even the entire sukshma resolves, the pranas also resolve. The entire sukshma being resolved, the sukshma being not there, again rebirth is not there. Rebirth being not there, there's no Atma is not reborn, isn't it? Only Sukshma is reborn. the sukshma to be reborn, the sukshma should be existing. The sukshma resolves, doesn't die here. Sukshma is not destroyed here. It only resolves because the mind resolves. Therefore, no rebirth, therefore no re-death also. Isn't it? This is called what now? This is what is said to be Amritaha Bhavanti. They attain immortality means what? They remain immortal. When after leaving this body, physical body, who after leaving the body became immortal? Dhiraha, wise people. How? Having known the self, having recognized that Atma. Which is that Atma? Shrotrasya Shrotram, Chakshushaha Chakshuhu, Manaso Manaha, mind of the mind, eye of the eye, ear of the ear, etc. Isn't it? So here we have to see the Bhashyam. Evam Prishtavate Yogyaya Aha Guruhu Shrunutvam. So Evam Prishtavate. Prishtavan means the one who has asked. Now Prishtavan means what? Asked. Prishtavan, the one who has asked is Prishtavan. To the one who has asked this question, what will you say? Prishtavate is a fourth case of Prishtavan. Takarantaha pullingaha prishtavat shabdaha tasya ekavachane chaturthi vibhaktau prishtavate iti rupam. Isn't it? Prishtavate means to the one who has asked this question. Who is the one who has asked? What is the question he has asked? First question, first mantra. Isn't it? To the student has asked this question. Kena preshitam manaha ishitam. Kena ishitam manaha preshitam patati. Such a question. Prishtavate. And who is this student here? Yogyaha. Yogyaha means the deserving student, one who deserves the answer, one who eligible candidate. Yogyaha means what? Eligible, qualified student. Who is qualified for this knowledge is yogyaha. If one is not qualified, he is called ayogyaha. Know that who is ayogyaha? In Tamil, ayogya means wrong, wicked person. Tamil expression. But here not there. Yogyaha means arhade udayavan. Ayogyaha means one who is not eligible, unqualified person. But here this he sees, Shankara says, the student who asked this question is who? Yogyaha, the eligible student who is eligible for knowing this self. And such a student, guruhu, aha. Aha means said. Guru who replied. Guru gave this reply. Shrunutvam yat pruchyasi. Listen to that. Tvam shrunu, a student, you please listen what you asked. Mana adi karana jatasya. Mana adi karana jatasya kaha devaha sva vishayam prati prerayita katham va prerayati iti. O student, please listen to me what you asked. Mana adi karana jatasya. Mana adi means what? Of all these senses, of all these organs of knowledge and organs of actions, such as mind, etc., for all of them, kaha devaha, who is that effulgent being? Sva vishayam prati prerayita. Who is the one? Kaha devaha prerita. who is that effulgent conscious being? Who is the activator? Who is the activator of these things, of these organs towards them in their respective fields? So Vishayam Prati, in their own respective fields, they're all activated. Who is the activator? Prerayita means activator, inspirer. Okay. And Kathamba Prerayiti. And how does that effulgent being activate? Kathamba Prerayiti. How does that effulgent conscious being activate? And who is the effulgent being, effulgent conscious being, the activator of these senses, of this mind, etc., of the senses such as mind, etc.? Is it clear? Now you ask this question, listen to me, I'm going to tell you the answer. He's going to say that now. He's going to say, he has not thought of anything. Still the teacher is talking to the student. Listen to me. Now the student, the answer begins.
So, karana jatasya.
Karana jatasya. Karana jatasya. Karana means what? Any instrument of action or knowledge is called karanam. Karanam means anena kriyate iti karanam. Karanam means what? That by which something is done is called karanam. Now, see, eyes are the karanam, ears are the karanam, nose is a karanam, tongue is a karanam, skin is a karanam, hands are karanam, legs are karanam, mind also is a karanam, antah karanam. See, karanam means that by which something is done, that through which seeing is done, hearing is done, listening is done, eating is done, isn't it? Drinking is done. Isn't it? It's called karanam. Vag indriyam. So all these five organs of knowledge are karanani. Five organs of actions are karanani. That by which anything is knowing is done is what? Antak mind also is karanam. So mana adi means what? Mind, etc. Mana adi means manam mudaliya. Mana adi karana jatasya. For all these organs of actions, sense organs, all these organs of functions and actions, okay, in mind, chest, mind, etc., for all of them, what is that conscious, in conscious principle, the effulgent principle? Who is the conscious effulgent principle? The inspirer, activator of all of them. Karanajatasya prerita, activator of all these. Then how does that principle activate? Katham prerayati. Who is the activator, or how does that activator activate? Isn't that's your question? You please listen to me, my student. Please listen to me now. Teacher is saying. Shrotrasya shrotram. Okay. Now, shrotrasya shrotram. Atma is the conscious effulgent being. You know, is what? Is the atma shrotrasya shrotram. Why do you say atma is the shrotrasya shrotram, ear of the ear? He says, shrunoti anena iti shrotram. Why ear is called shrotram? Because anena shrunoti anena iti shrotram. It's called shrotram because that by which the sound is heard is called shrotram. Isn't it? Shrotram. Shabdasya shravanam prati karanam. Shabdasya shravanam prati karanam. For the sound, for the listening of the sound, no, karanam. This is the instrument, isn't it? Instrument by which the sound is heard. Isn't it? Karanam. Therefore, what? Shabda abhivyanjakam. Shabda abhivyanjakam means what? That because of which the sound becomes revealed. Sound becomes revealed. Without this, sound will be as good as non-existent. Isn't it? Abhivyanjakam means what? That which lends existence, that because of which sound becomes manifest, that because of which sound becomes existent, becomes revealed. Otherwise sound will be unrevealed, isn't it? Sound will remain unrevealed, unknown, if there is no ear, hear, power of hearing, isn't it? Shabdasya abhivyanjakam, that which brings the sound into manifestation. How the sound will be, sound will remain unmanifest, unknown, if there is no ear, power of hearing. Sound is not non-existent, sound is existent, but existent sound will be as good as non-existent if it does, is not brought to light. Sound has to be brought to light, isn't it? So what is that which brings the light, sound to light? It's called Shabdasya Abhivyanjakam. That which brings the sound to light, thereby that which makes the sound become manifest, isn't it? Because of which sound becomes manifest, what Abhivyanjakam is what? Shrotram, ear, isn't it? Shrotram, Indriyam, Tasya, Shrotram, Saha, Yaha, Tvaya Prushtaha. Therefore he says, that which brings the sound to light, sound, see, that which brings the sound to light is Shrotram. Isn't it? That because of which sound becomes existent is what? The Shrotram. Similarly, that because of which even the hearing power comes to light, because of which hearing power is brought to light, is the ear of the ear. Is it clear now? So he gives why he is giving this meaning. Do you get the meaning of what I am saying? So the ear organ of hearing alone brings the light, sound to manifestation, brings the sound to light. Otherwise the sound will be non-existent. Similarly, that because of which the power of hearing comes to light, the power of hearing or the Shrotram Indriyam, the power of hearing, the Shrotra Indriyam, the organ of hearing comes to light or has its existence, is also what now? You can say ear of the ear. That's the meaning he gives. But later on, in this Bhashyam, we'll find very interesting answer. Very interesting Bhashyam we have here. Because it's all about Atma. Shrotrasya Shrotram Shrunoti Anena Iti Shrotram Shabdasya Shravanam Prati Karanam. So Shabdasya Shravanam Prati Karanam. Shabdasya Shravanam Prati Karanam means what? The instrument because of which, the instrument of hearing, isn't it? Instrument of hearing. So Shabda Abhivyanjakam. Shabda Abhivyanjakam. Shabda Abhivyanjakam is what? The karanam, the instrument of hearing, which alone, because of which alone, this sound becomes manifest, sound becomes revealed. Shrotram Indriyam. Tasya Shrotram. Tasya Shrotram means what now? Shrotrasya Shrotram. Saha Yaha Tvaya Prishtaha Chakshuhu Shrotram Kavu Devaha Yunakti Iti. This is what the question you are asking. This is the question you are asking. Who is that effulgent conscious principle, you know, which activates this mind, body, mind, etc.? This is the question you asked. Now I tell you, Shrotrasya Shrotram. Why do I say Shrotrasya Shrotram? because Shabda Abhivyanjakam Shrotram. Okay? But Shrotrasya Abhivyanjakam, what? What is that which brings to light the very power of hearing? Atma. Therefore, I can say what? No. Shrotrasya Shrotram. That which lends existence to the power of hearing. Power of hearing is the Shrotram because it lends existence to sound. Similarly, that which lends existence to the power of hearing is what? Atma. So how shall we say now? Shrotrasya Shrotram. Is it clear? Now he is going to the next one. Asau evam visishtah shrotradini niyunta iti vaktavye nanu yetad ananurupam prativachanam Shrotrasya Shrotramiti. Now, the other, now because this teacher has given the answer. Now he has given the answer. What is the answer? What is the, who is the effulgent being? Who is the conscious being? Shrotram. Shrotrasya Shrotram is the answer. And he also given the explanation what now. Why he says that which activates the mind and etc., mind and other, all other organs, etc., is called Shrotrasya Shrotram. And he took only one word from Shrotrasya Shrotram. He said Shrotram is Shabda Abhivyanjakam, revealer of the sound. Without being revealed by the power of hearing, the sound will be remain unrevealed. Therefore, sound has existence because of the power of hearing. Similarly, that because of which the power of hearing becomes revealed, has existence, is what? Shrotram of the Shrotram, ear of the ear. Now the student is asking, look at this. Asau evam visishtah shrotradini niyunte iti vaktavye. Now evam visishtah. Evam visishtah means the atma which is of this nature. Look at this. Atma which is of this nature. Shrotradi niyunte, atma which is of this nature. Atma which is of this nature. Shrotradi niyunte, this alone, atma alone activates ear, etc., all the organs. If you say, nanu yetad ananurupam prativachanam. Ananurupam prativachanam. Prativachanam means reply. Oh teacher, the reply you are giving me, the answer you are giving to my question is what? I want to know who is the Atma. You say ear of the ear. What is this question? Eye of the eye. Mind of the mind. What is his answer? If I knew already, I wouldn't have asked you. I did not know, that's why I asked you, what is that Atma? No? And you are saying ear of the ear, eye of the eye, mind of the mind. This answer is what? Not appropriate answer. Anurupam means what? Appropriate. Matching answer is called anurupam. Ananurupam means what? Non-matching, unmatching, inappropriate answer. Your answer is what? No, not appropriate answer. Because it doesn't convey anything. Shrotrasya Shrotram is Atma. Manasaha Manaha is Atma. Mind of the mind is Atma. It doesn't convey anything for me. For me, ear means this, okay? Ear of the ear means what? Doesn't really give me correct answer. I do not really get the answer by answer, listening to your answer. So he says, Yetad ananurupam prativachanam shrotrasya shrotramiti. This answer of yours to my question, shrotrasya shrotram, year of the year, etc., is what now? Not anurupam prativachanam. Prativachanam means reply. Okay? It's not anurupam prativachanam. It is not suitable answer. It is not appropriate answer to my question. Isn't it? Because you are giving me a vague idea. Still, my vagueness doesn't go. Therefore, our teacher is saying, Naisha doshaha. Na yeshaha doshaha. My answer is not wrong. My answer is not incorrect. It's not a mistake. Yeshaha doshaha. Na yeshaha doshaha. My prativachanam, my reply is not wrong. Not incorrect. Why he says, Tasya. Anyatha. Anyatha. Vishesha. Anavagamat. He says, why I had to give this answer, Shrotrasya Shrotram iti? Why I had to give this answer? Atma is eye of the eye, ear of the ear. Why I am giving this answer to you? Because Anyatha Vishesha Anavagamat. It cannot be Vishesha Anavagamat. It cannot be understood. Atma cannot be understood by any other means. Anavagamaha. Avagamaha means what now? Understanding. Anavagamaha means non-understanding. Vishesha anavagamat means because it is not possible for you to understand in any other way. Why it cannot be understood? Atma cannot be understood. Isn't Vishesha anavagamat? It cannot be understood by any other means. Atma cannot be understood by any other means. Isn't it? Why? Because Atma is not an object of knowledge. If Atma is an object of knowledge, then you can use all the available means of knowledge. Then you can understand it easily by using any one of the means of appropriate means of knowledge. Atma being not an object, Atma cannot be known by any other means of knowledge. Therefore, what is the answer I should give? Atma is not even an object. Atma is not an object. Therefore, Anyatha Vishesha Anavagamat. Because there is no other way of understanding Atma by any other means of knowledge, because it is not an object, I have to give this answer. My answer is correct. Okay, he says. Now we'll see that. Nanu. Oh, we finished it. Yadihi. Shrotradi. Vyapara. Vyatiriktena. Swavyaparena. Visishtaha. Shrotradi. Niyokta. Avagamyeta. Yadihi. Shrotradi. Vyapara. Vyatiriktena. Swavyaparena. Visishtaha. Shrotradi. Niyokta. Avagamyeta. See what he gives, see what he says. If Atma, look at this. If Atma is the activator of the power of hearing And if he is also involved in any other active, any other, when he is not involved in the activation of the ear, if he is involved in any other activation of anything else, then I can show, come on, this is the one who is activating the ear. I can show. Isn't it? But Atma is not like that, isn't it? Shrotradi vyaparena vyatiriktam means what now? When this, the activator of the ear, when the ear is not activated, that person is involved in some other action, then I can show this is the person who is involved in the activation of the ear. This is the person who is involved in the activation of the mind. This is the person who is involved in the activation of the eyes. Or activation of the body, etc. I can show if Atma is like that. But Atma is not like that. So what he gives the example, we're going to see the next example. We're going to see, Kanka is going to say Dātram. Dātram. Dātram means, the people, the farmers used to cut at the time of harvest season. Gātram. Dātram. Dātram means that with which they cut. Sickle. With which they cut it is the sickle. Suppose when the farmer is using the sickle, and you can say, who is the, because sickle is inert, iron, isn't it? I cannot go and cut it by self. And who is the one who operates the sickle? Who is the cutter? Who is using this? Dātram. If you show, then ask. Even when the person, the dātram he is not using, the dātram will be there and he would have gone to have a cigarette. Isn't it? The cigarette, he must be relaxing for a while, okay? And he's going out and he stands outside because the whole day he is cutting and he puts the dātram there, the sickle there, and he goes away and he smokes. And who is the one who is this operates this sickle means? You can say what? The one who is smoking there, now one who is involved in the act of smoking, is the one who is operating this sickle. We can show that way. Isn't it? If Atma is, something like that, one who is operating eyes separately, he goes out and who is involved in something else, the one who is operating the eyes is the one who is operating the ears. Isn't it? We can say that, but that I cannot show that. Why? Atma is not something separable. The sickle is different. The farmer who is operating it is different. And he can leave the job and he can involve himself in something else also. Isn't it? The one who is smoking now is the one who is using. I can show. If it is possible, isn't it? Therefore, Shankara says here, my answer is not wrong because there is no other way of knowing the Atma. Like what? Yadihi shrotradi vyapara vyatiriktena svavyaparena visishtaha. Apart from the activation of ears, etc., if the Atma is also involved in one's own different other actions, apart from the activating the mind, etc., body, mind, complex, etc., Atma is also involved in its own any other action. So, vyaparena, visishtaha, then shrotradi niyokta. Oh, this is the person, this is the activator of the ear. Isn't it? You can understand if the Atma is also involved in its own other activities. Avagamyeta. How he says, Dātradi prayoktruvat. See, Dātradi prayoktruvat. Prayokta means user. User of sickle is called Dātram. Dātram means sickle. Dātram is sickle. Dātradi prayokta means user of sickle. User of the one who uses the sickle. Prayoktruvate yetad idam ananurupam prativachanam syat. If Atma is the one who is involved in one's own activities, okay, then to show Atma, this is the activator of the Atma, apart from activating the ear, etc. Like what? Like this farmer who is using the sickle, and when he is not using the sickle, I can show this person who is involved in the smoking or do something else. This is the one who is eating or smoking, is the one who is the user of the sickle. I can show you like that. If that was the case with Atma, then my answer would have been improper. But my answer is not improper. My answer is not inappropriate. Why? Because Atma is not somebody who is like the one who is activating the Dhatram. Dhatram, even the car driver, for that example, isn't it? Who is the driver of this car? When you see the car, car is there very much. You know, car cannot drive by itself. Car will not run by itself. It needs to be driven. And you can ask, where is the driver? By whom this car is driven? When you ask, and you can show, see, the driver is the one who is eating there in that restaurant. You can show. Because the driver is involved in his own vyaparam of eating, why? Now he is not involved in this act of driving. It is easy for you to show. Then, but whereas Atma, I cannot show Atma like that. This is the Atma who really chases this body-mind complex, who activates the body-mind complex. Now who is sitting there? Look at, he is doing something else. Eating, drinking, smoking. I cannot show like that Atma. Therefore, my answer is what? Appropriate. It is not wrong answer. But still, he is going to explain very beautifully. If it is time, please let me know. Dhatradi prayoktruvat, like the user of the Dhatram. If Atma also is somebody, okay, which is involved in its own activities, apart from these things, then the answer I gave would have been what? Ananurupam. Prativachanam syat. Then my answer would have been incorrect answer. Natu iha shrotradinam prayokta. Svyapara visishtaha lavitradivat adhigamyate. Over here, it's understood here, what now? Natu iha shrotradinam prayokta. Prayokta means what? Activator of this, or the user of this senses, etc., organs of actions, organs of knowledge, etc., the activator of this mind and senses, etc., the Atma, Svavyapara Visishtaha is not engaged in one's own different activities. Is it clear now? The activator of the body, mind and complex, the Atma, is not engaged in its own other activities, like what? Like the Lavita. Lavita means the cutter. Lunati means cuts. It's in the root Lu. Lu means what? To cut. Lunati, what's the verb? Cuts. Lavita means what? Cutter. Wood cutter. Or this sickle. The sickle user. Isn't it? The farmer. So now, first you had Dhatram. Now you talk about the Lavita. Lavita means what? One who is involved, one who is cutting is called cutter, is called the, not the Dhatram, the person. Lavita, Lavitra divati, Lavitra means what? Lavitra adivati, Lavitra shabda, okay? Lavitra divati means what? Like the woodcutter, etc. Like the woodcutter, etc. Lavitra adivati. Such as people, such as woodcutter, etc., Atma is not like that, one who is involved in one's own personal activities, apart from the activation of other things. So for me to show, this is the Atma. Adhigamyate. Therefore, it's understood very well. Atma is not like the other activators. Atma is not like the other users of instruments. Atma is not the user of instruments. Atma is not the activator of instruments. Atma is not a performer of actions like other datram instrument or the lavita, the user of instrument. If the user of the instrument, then I can show when other person involved in some other activity, then I can show this is the person. Therefore, here Atma is not like that, is understood, isn't it? Therefore, my answer is, that is the answer I can give. But he is going to explain anyway later on. So we'll stop here. We'll do the next class. See, at least now the interesting portion of the answer has begun. Now we are all interested in answer, aren't we? We are interested in the really question. Just to show you how, what all ways one can think, what are all the possible questions one can ask to understand that you have to read the Bhashyam. The first mantra's Bhashyam, actually the most of the Bhashyam, is mainly discussing what? The words Ishitam and Preshitam. I was supposed to have finished in one class. I've been dragging on to this third class because of some confusions and all that things. Now at least we've settled it now. Next class what I'll do, I'll give you the answer, I'll give you notes like. Is it okay? I'm going to dictate notes here. You have to write down notes. Like children, school children. It's alright? I thought it would be better for me to do it. You all should write down the notes so that you won't forget. Because what I do, lots of Sanskrit here. And then in Sanskrit, I'm so expressive. To print this so much what I see in English, it's not because I can't do it. The very language itself has its own limitation. Because if I go, I have to say so much to exactly what is expressed in Sanskrit. Lots of nouns and adjectives which are used in Sanskrit are so expressive. We have to just give the bhavartha of the Bhashyam. I'm not really literally translating the Bhashyam. Some places I do translate wherever possible. Some places I give the what is conveyed there. I really don't give the literal translation of the Bhashyam because it will sound funny otherwise. Do you get what I'm saying? Even the adjectives, nouns, especially the twanta nouns, prerayitrutvam comes, prerayati, that? Prerayati is the verb. See, irayati is actually the verb, irayati. Irayati means what? Actually, enlivens, energizes. Pra-irayati, prerayati, inspires, activates. Preranam, prerana, activation, inspiration, inspiring. Prerayita, activator, inspirer. Prerayitrutvam, the status of being the activator. Understand? I have to tell you all these things, then I have to come to this lesson. Today, what all words you have learned in Sanskritam? Dhiraha, the first mantra. Then, Lavita. Lavita means what? Rikarantaha, Pullingha, Lavitri Shabdaha. The cutter. Lunati is the verb. Anyway, Lu Dhatuhu. That's okay. And then datram also you have learned. Datram means that instrument of cutting. Harvesting, isn't it? Those words are not important for you. Brahmojiji thinks, my God, I am interested in Lavita and datram. I am interested in Atma. But Shankara uses these words, isn't it? Really speaking, we don't need all those things, isn't it? But still you can see the beauty of Shankara's thing, how he says. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha.